It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at ChristiansForAmerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Don Swarthout. We are glad that you have joined us today, and we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We are glad that you decided to spend this time with us and with God. Today, I want to spend some time talking about the birth of Jesus. We are going to talk about passages in the book of Matthew, and the book of Matthew was written to convince Jews that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are actually many prophecies and promises which become clear in the book of Matthew as we look at the life, ministry, and teaching of Jesus. These prophecies and promises give us a lot of validity to Jesus' claim that he is the Son of God. In writing to the Jews, Matthew's purpose is to affirm that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, who the Old Testament prophets foretold. The Jews had expected the Messiah to be a political leader and a king. Matthew explained that the leadership of Jesus, the Messiah, and the future glory of the Messianic King Jesus will be when he returns at the end of the age. Many Jews have missed out on this part of the story. Matthew's account of the life of Jesus shows the Old Testament being fulfilled far more than any other New Testament book. This book points out Jesus Christ fulfilled many of the Old Testament prophecies. Among these Old Testament prophecies which Jesus fulfilled included prophecies about his birth, birthplace, his return from Egypt, and his Nazareth residence. Also documented are the power of Jesus, his authority over sin, sickness, demonic forces, and even over death itself. After reading Matthew's gospel, we are much more aware of the miracle-working power of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to tell you, just in case you didn't know, that Jesus gave you and I power. And it is really a shame for us to not understand this fact. We have the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, living on the inside of us today. And all we must do is learn how to use it. This should be made clear by John 14:12, in which Jesus himself says, "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So let's go ahead now and move more into the Christmas story, which is about the birth of Jesus. And the birth of Jesus came about in this manner. Jesus' mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. And before they ever came together, Mary was found to be with a child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph was a just man, not willing to make Mary a public example, but he thought he would put her away privately. While Joseph thought on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, do not fear to take Mary for your wife, because that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. The angel continued and said, and she shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sin. All of this was done so that it would be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord's prophet, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. This is very, very interesting, isn't it? Before Jesus was born, they said that he would be known as God with us. My goodness. Then being raised from his sleep, as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife Mary. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and behold, there came wise men from the east to Bethlehem, and they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard all these things, he was troubled, as was all of Jerusalem. And as an aside here, let's all notice that the wise men said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? It is interesting that Jesus was already known as the King of the Jews. Herod asked where the Christ was to be born, and the priest said to Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by a prophet. The prophet also said, you of Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people of Israel. Then Herod, which had privately called the wise men, asked them what time the star had appeared. Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem to search diligently for the young child. Herod told them, when they found him, to bring him word so that he might come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, the wise men departed and followed the star which they had seen in the east. The star went before them until it came to where the child was and stood over him. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they came into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they had departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And this was the second time, at least, that Joseph recognized an angel of the Lord. Anyhow, the angel told Joseph to arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. God, through a dream, gave Joseph directions in regard to when and where to go to escape the threat of the harm. He took the young child and his mother and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. This fulfilled the prophecy which said, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that the wise men had mocked him, was exceedingly upset. So he sent his men to Bethlehem to slay all the children under the age of two. But when Herod was dead, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Arise and take his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And so Joseph arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. Later, Joseph was warned in a dream and turned aside to Galilee, and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill the scripture that said, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Later, John the Baptist began his ministry in the wilderness of Judea, where he was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." For this, he spoke, was of Isaiah the prophet. Specifically, John the Baptist was saying, "He was the one whose voice was to be heard in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, making his path straight." John was dressed in camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins. He ate locusts and wild honey. He went out of Jerusalem to all of Judea and all of the region around Jordan. John baptized many people in Jordan, with them confessing their sins. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to see him, he said, "Oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth your fruits for repentance, and think not to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." John the Baptist then said, "And now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that brings bad fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." This means every one of us who brings forth bad fruit is cast into the fire of hell, unless we accept Jesus Christ before we die. John the Baptist said, "I need to baptize you with water, but he who comes after me is mightier than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That last line means we will burn up like chaff in an unquenchable fire if we die without formally accepting Jesus Christ into our life. Then Jesus comes from Galilee to Jordan to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me." Jesus said, Suffer it to be so, for it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John baptized him, and Jesus went up out of the water, and the heavens were opened to him. John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and John heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and actually he was very hungry. When the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Jesus answered the devil and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil takes Jesus up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, God shall give up his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, at least any time you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to the devil and said, "It is written again, you shall not tempt your Lord your God." Again, the devil takes Jesus up to an exceedingly high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them that he showed him. And the devil says to Jesus, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Get away from me, you devil, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship your Lord your God, and only him shall you serve." The devil leaves Jesus, and the angels of the Lord come to minister him. When the people were in darkness, they saw the great light. Those which sat in the shadow of death, the light sprung up. Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." This scripture says that those which sat in the shadow of death had seen the light as it sprung up. That light is Jesus Christ. Walking by the sea, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw two brothers, James and John, mending their nets, and he called them. And by the way, has Jesus called you? My answer is yes, Jesus has called you. What this means is exactly what it says, and that is what this scripture means. James and John immediately left the ship and their life to follow Jesus. How about you? Are you following Jesus? In Matthew 4:23, Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness among people. In Matthew 4:24, the Bible says, "And Jesus' fame went throughout all of Syria. They brought him sick people, which were sick with diverse diseases and torments, and were possessed by devils who were lunatic and those who had palsy, and he healed them all." This scripture is to remind us that Jesus was able to heal them all. This scripture means God wants you well, and he healed all those he came into contact with. Why? Because Jesus, or God, wants you well, and he will heal you if you properly ask him. James 1:5 says, "God gives liberally to all who ask him. It shall be given to him." In James 1:6-8, the Bible says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind For let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, in looking at James 1, 6 and 7, they are very specific. But they say, let him ask in faith. Let not that man who wavers in faith think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. James 4, 2 and 3 tell us that Jesus wants us to ask. And if you ask amiss, you will not receive. The Bible says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. And you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that it may be consumed upon your own lust. In James 4, 4, the Bible says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend with the world is the enemy of God. These verses tell us to ask in faith, ask not amiss, and to be a friend of God and not a friend of the world. If you think Jesus did not give us Christians all of the power of God, I would suggest again that you read John 14, 12 to 13. In John 14, 12 to 13, Jesus says, and verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In this verse, Jesus is assuming you will ask. Ask in faith, ask not amiss, and be a friend of God and not a friend of the world. Yes, Jesus and God do make some assumptions that you will do the right thing and act upon the Word of God, just like people that you know will want to do the right thing. People will tell you some important ways that you can please God and assume that you know not to act in an ungodly way without explaining to you what makes an ungodly way. For example, the question of abortion may be answered by a commandment which says, thou shalt not kill, meaning thou shalt not take innocent life. But this may go unsaid because some people believe in Jesus and in God. They may assume that you have the thought of the commandment which says, you shall not kill. So they say abortion is wrong because the Bible tells you so, instead of you saying it is a woman's right to choose. So what I'm saying is, when you read the Bible, you should ask yourself, what does it mean? Who would remember to list several dozen things every time they talk about how you should pray? Even I sometimes make assumptions that I really do not mean to make, and I do not really think of them. The Beatitudes were listed in Matthew 5, 3 to 10, and are generally thought to be contained within these verses of Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called God's children. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I feel that every Christian should learn what Jesus is saying to us in Matthew chapter 5. Why? Well, I think it's because I feel I can learn a great deal about Jesus and about Christianity if you study these particular things which Jesus taught. In verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven." This is a way you can preach the gospel to those who have forgotten God. And this is one of the things God has called me to preach to those who have forgotten God in America. God once said to me, "You do not have a political problem in Washington, D.C. today. You have a religious problem in all of America today." This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying, we will be back next week unless the Lord comes first. And if that is the case, I will expect to see you in heaven. So long for now, and may God always bless you.
This has been Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.